Coral reefs all over the world are under siege from various human impacts, and Maui's reefs are among those that have been hard hit by runoffs, land-based water pollution. It's a far cry from the days when the Ahupua'a system of pre-contact days kept that runoff under control. Jennifer Vandervoer, Maui Program Manager for the Coral Reef Alliance, or CORAL, is giving a talk later this week on restoring the natural function of Maui's Ahupua'a to protect Maui's coral reefs. We spoke earlier this morning.
Over time and through different development and agricultural practices, a lot of the function of the Ahupua'a has been broken. Traditionally, Ahupua'a are the land divisions from Malcolm Lakai that are from the mountains to the ocean that are connected generally around a freshwater resource, streams and whatnot. And when we started diverting water from the streams weren't actually flowing to the ocean anymore. And then we started to develop land around the area, clearing a lot of the natural vegetation that held the ground, held the land together. And through that, these systems have become degraded and broken and don't really function.
Systems meaning enough sediment coming into the ocean, going into the ocean, but not too much, huh?
Well, also just a stream flowing from the mountain to the ocean. Mm-hmm. Most of our water has been diverted, so we don't even have streams that reach the ocean anymore.
So they're diverted how? What's an example of that?
A lot of different old ditch systems were created to channel water from one part of the island to another where agricultural was done. And so most of the water diversions were due to industry and making sure that agriculture and different areas had water.
Is this a function of post-contact Hawaii, then?
Yes, indeed, it is, yeah. Prior to that, any water that was diverted from the streams for lo'i and that was actually redirected back into the streams. And so even though water was utilized traditionally outside of the stream, it always re-entered the streams, and streams were always reached the ocean.
It sounds as if at some point people moved away from a system that worked. What was it that was preferable to them in changing the way the water was being moved around?
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily preferred by the community, but specific stakeholders and businesses that would divert that. And so mm-hmm. It was basically post-contact. You have businessmen that come in and change the whole function of ecosystems and the community by diverting water for different agriculture and other commercial activities.
So this is kind of a function of industrialization, a little bit of the industrialization of agriculture?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Well, how do you reverse a trend that is at least a couple of centuries old?
Well, first we need to get the water actually flowing back into the streams again. And Aaron Strotz of the Commission on Water Resource Management for the state of Hawaii is doing an excellent job of that. He's going to each of the streams and making sure that diversions are stopped or minimized so that there's a minimum flow standard, which basically means that there's enough water in the streams that the streams will actually reach the ocean. So working with partners like that and making the community aware of the incredibly important functions of streams and how they do connect the mountains and the ocean, and that this fresh water brings life to the plants, animals, but also the seaweed and marine life. There's fish that depend on fresh water for parts of their life cycles. So without that fresh water reaching the ocean, we're really crippling multiple ecosystems.
What's the effect of excessive amounts of sediment reaching the ocean?
When you have excessive amounts of sediment, there's also a lot of nutrients tied up in that sediment. So in addition to having this dirt come and smother the corals and block the light that the little algae, the zooxanthellae in the coral tissues need, the sediment blocks that light so that they can't photosynthesize and produce energy for the corals. That sediment also creates a barricade so that the corals can't filter feed to get food. So ultimately, they're stressed. They can't, and then they can bleach. And once coral bleaches, most of the time it dies. So in addition to that, you're introducing all these excess nutrients that enable algae and limu to grow. And in West Maui, that was such a big problem in the past that they actually had to bulldoze seaweed off of the beaches because there was so much nutrients and so much fertilizers in these areas that the algae, they can grow quicker and they can outcompete the coral, which will actually shift the ecosystem from a coral reef to a algae or seaweed-dominated ecosystem.
What is it that creates that much excess of sediment in the first place? Is this runoff after a particularly powerful storm, or what does that?
It's definitely runoff from big storms, but what happened was when these areas were being developed for agriculture, they were making a lot of dirt roads. And when they would make the dirt roads, they would basically push all the dirt and sediment either into the gulches or along the edges of the gulches. And then they would also make these things called kickouts, which were intended to divert water off the road so the road doesn't get chewed up. But a consequence of that is that it became basically a highway for sediment to be transported. So water can run really fast over these barren roads. There's no plants to break up that energy. The velocity of that water increases. It picks up the sediment, and then it goes off the gulches into the streams, and it's taking some of those push piles or legacy sediments with it into the stream. And then ultimately, when we have those big flash flood, heavy rain events, all that sediment is washed downstream.
Could the damage that causes have been foreseen?
I think that ultimately what happens is we have these big brown water events. And so the idea of, you know, being able to connect we're pushing all the pile into the streams and going out into the ocean and seeing these brown water events, I think that it you know, probably wouldn't have taken too long to see the impacts of that. It's hard to tell, but there are ways to mitigate it now. One of the things that we're looking at doing is reversing those kickouts. So instead of going off the edge of the gulch, they go back into the land. And that helps with reducing the sediment going off, but it also helps with groundwater infiltration. The longer we keep water on the ground, the more likely or more able it is to seep back into the ground and then recharge our aquifers and provide water for the plants and all of that.
It sounds as like a fairly large education program is in order.
Yes, yeah. So it's definitely one of the aspects that Coral works with is educating not only the community and stakeholders, but, you know, developers and engineers and people that are going to create more infrastructure and how we can do it in a way that is more reef-friendly and does mitigate some of the heavy runoff events.
Jennifer Vanderveer is the Maui Program Manager for the Coral Reef Alliance, or CORAL. She will speak on restoring the natural function of Maui's ahupua'a to protect Maui's coral reefs Wednesday evening at the Maui Nui Marine Resource Council meeting. The free talk will be offered in the Pacific Whale Foundation's classrooms downstairs at the Ma'alai Harbor Shops from 5 to 6:30 p.m.